All right, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and along with Tom Fairbanks today. Tom is pinch hitting. Tom's usually my Friday producer. Just seeing Tom on the other side of the glass makes me feel, oh my gosh, it's the weekend. But no, Tom is pinch hitting for Ray Allen, and Ray's, I hope you're feeling better, Ray. I know you're on the mend. He said he can now actually start to smell his food, so that's a good sign, I guess. So he's getting over his cold. Anyway, Tom and I wish everybody a good afternoon, and we are pushing ahead here on this newly minted Thursday afternoon. It is November the 5th, 2015. It's Buckmaster, not only over the air on AM 1030 KVOI, but we have folks who can listen anywhere in the world with the computer on live streaming on KVOI.com or on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. And BuckmasterShow.com is the place that we have all of our podcasts. Really, we're pushing now, coming up on our five-year anniversary of this project in January, and we've got just about every show we have done since we began this project at BuckmasterShow.com. We're also always welcoming new friends on Facebook, and we're easy to find, Bill Buckmaster on Facebook. And I'm doing the Twitter thing. I had an account for years. It was inactive. Then a couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, why not push and promote the show on Twitter? So if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it's at Buckmaster Show. All right, let's get at it. Rahina Romero is here, Ward 1 Councilwoman, newly elected to a third four-year term. Councilwoman, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate it, and happy that the voters of Tucson re-elected me. I'm humbled for their support, and I'm looking forward to continuing the successes that we have been building on the last 8 years.
Was this a nasty election, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I just received a call from Bill Hunt, my opponent. Bill and I famously got along, and he was very respectful, and hopefully he accepts my invitation to be appointed to a committee or a commission of the mayor and council so that his voice is also heard. So him and I were saying
Hunt's a good guy. Yeah,
yes, how wonderful.
Valuable asset, really, to this community.
Absolutely. And so I think beyond him and his campaign, the dark money groups out there funding the billboards and funding. I mean, we know that Antonori was behind those billboards, but the funders is that we don't know. And that's why it's called dark money. And, you know, I think the voters were smart enough to see beyond the untruths and half-truths and sometimes outright lies, and saw the facts.
Yeah, and if you believed the billboards, you and your incumbents that were up for re-election were the worst. We're doing some of the worst things possible for
this
city.
They accused us of the economic recession of 2008, and you know the catastrophic results of what happened nationwide. So we, you know, if you believe those billboards, we were very, very evil. And funny enough, though, the 4 years that our wonderful mayor has served, he had nothing to do with the last 4 years. So it just was, you know, very political, very partisan, and not based on facts.
Are we moving in the right direction as far as the charter change? Those two items passed.
Well, we were really happy to see those charter changes because the charter was written 1924, 1927, depending on who you talk to. And, you know, we've grown. We're a metropolitan city, and we want to grow also government-wise. And so in terms of how it was written, it was very hands-off In terms of the mayor. It didn't give enough power to the city manager and the mayor and council in terms of the department directors. And with the charter changes, and by the way, the charter changes won with a really nice amount, percentage of people voting for them. It really gives parity to the mayor, which means that he counts as a quorum, that he can make motions and second motions. And then it also gives the power to the city manager and the mayor and council to hire and fire department directors. In other words, they are not under the merit commission merit system rules. And just like the city manager himself, the department directors will be much more responsive, not only to the city manager, the policy of the elected officials, but also to the community.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to speak with a Councilwoman Romero, give us a call right now, and she'd be happy to entertain your question. So now with the charter, there is a group, certainly many would like to see now a change in the way we elect our council people with in the general election to have what's known as ward-only elections.
Well, I think that we continue the process. We saw really good wins with these charter changes. And now, you know, Councilmember Fimbres and myself put together forward the idea of creating a charter review committee. That committee, there were two appointments by each council member and the mayor, and one appointment by the city manager. This is made up of, you know, residents of the city of Tucson. The conversation has to continue, I believe, in terms of our system and our and how we, you know, how we elect representatives of Tucson. So this conversation has to continue. I don't believe the conversation should be dictated by just one group, but I think we should have a thorough conversation within the Charter Change Committee to make sure to see where we continue. We've done a good changes. Now we have to continue.
What do you think of the bond, all the bond questions going down? You know, people complain, and it seems like everybody complains the roads are horrible, and then voters turn down a chance to fix them. Something's going on, and many think it's just a distrust of government.
Well, it's very unfortunate because it really is shooting our nose to spite our face. And people need to understand that federal funds are not coming back home, and that state shared revenue is not being sent back from the state to our region. And so we need to make sure that we're investing in ourselves, and we're voting to fix our roads, to create, you know, to fix our parks, to create economic development opportunities. It's really bad, very, very bad for the future of our community. It could have really helped in terms of creating short-term construction jobs and long-term, high-wage long-term jobs in our community, parks and roads and tourism issues, which is a big thing in Pima County. So it's very disconcerting, and we have to regroup and, you know, do a postmortem on the election and find out why, what happened.
The city was successful, though, when you bonded for your road project.
So we did.
You wonder what the future might be in that direction.
We might have to look at smaller packages. Some people think that it was a huge package, and people were concerned about it. It might have to be that the cities in Pima County are going to have to take a more control of bonding for their cities. We really have to have a conversation about how we move big infrastructure projects forward, and that includes roads and other projects. Ward 1 was going to benefit greatly with this bond, including an orientation center right on the west side, lots of fixing for Joaquin Murieta Park, lots of funds for Kennedy Park, for 12th Avenue, for so many different projects that could attract more into the community. So it's disconcerting. It was very saddening. It was, you know, and now we have to think, how do we move ahead as a community in terms of infrastructure?
What's going to happen with the police chief? We have now the police chief. We've got the Tucson Police Union. They made their recommendation for a gentleman out of Dallas. The group, the Citizens Committee, likes the police chief over in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area, the community of Richmond, California. So what's the next process? There is a third candidate, so I suppose where are we in this process right now is my question.
Well, I believe Mayor and Council appreciate the input and the research that TPOA and the Commanders Association have done. Like you said, there was also a city advisory search panel that almost unanimously picked Christopher Magnus from Richmond, California. And you know, I believe that this is a city manager appointment with a mayor and council approval. The city manager had a team of his executive leadership team made out of public safety administrators and, you know, the city attorney and others. It was a group of about 8 or 10 of them. And they also chose Christopher Magnus. Now, we told the city manager that, you know, it is his call, that we believe in his instinct and in his vision of what he wants to see in a police chief for the city of Tucson. Christopher Magnus is very, very impressive, Harvard graduate. He went into Richmond, California, and he helped reduce crime. He increased police staffing, increased technology.
He's real big on community policing.
Yeah, he increased police officer compensation and improved community relations. He's very, very big and has a very direct system of community policing. So it's some, you know, he has pretty amazing assets and to bring to the city of Tucson. So, you know, to be honest, I had concerns in terms of us not being able to see internal candidates. But looking at Mr. Christopher Magnus, he's pretty impressive.
All right, we'll find out what happens with that in the coming days. But right now, let's take our first break of the Buckmaster Show at 1216, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll be right back.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview, we'll be interviewing Mike Varney. Mr. Varney has some strong concerns about the way the election went with the county bonds. We'll hear from him. Rahina Romero is with us today, Ward 1 newly elected councilwoman, re-elected to a third four-year term. Richard, you've been waiting very patiently, calling us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, sir. I'd like to, first of all, thank the Taxpayers Against County Bonds and our organization, Pima Association of Taxpayers, for working to defeat those bonds for various reasons, besides the $200 million in interest we'd have to pay on that loan and some broker fees for doing it, but directly to Regina for the city's portion of that money for road repair. I'd like to ask her three separate issues. One, why did they divert $13 million in road repair money to go to that Gutierrez Bridge to nowhere? I've never seen another car on it. Also, they did a no-bid contract to Sunt for that bridge for $9 million. Only because federal money was involved, it went down to $6 million. Now, that doesn't make good sense. And finally, Tom Bolgi confirmed for me the fact that millions of our tax dollars were spent on a scam to lower that freeway downtown. And a newspaper reporter for Inside Tucson Business can confirm that. And if you'd like a little study on that, I'll be glad to provide it to you.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Let's see if we can tackle these. The first two parts of the three-part question.
For the Cushing Street Bridge, it's not a bridge to nowhere. It's actually a bridge over the Santa Cruz River into the oldest part of our city, 4,000 years of history, on the base of a mountain, and it has been continuously inhabited for 4,000 years. And there is a wonderful neighborhood there. It's the Mercado at Menlo Park and Menlo Park neighborhood. And I think that people in the West Side don't appreciate being called nowhere, because they have history, they have culture and archaeology to prove otherwise. Also, that bridge was funded through federal funds.
Yeah, he was implying some funny business about the no bid contract.
No, it's you know, the process has to be followed with the federal government. It's very regulated, and the Pima Association of Governments voted on funding the bridge. And one of the reasons they voted on funding that bridge is because it brings over not just pedestrians and cars, but also the streetcars. So it's expanding our downtown by more than 60 acres. It's finally making sure that it connects the west side of downtown and the people that live there, for generations have lived there, to the rest of the community. And it provides more economic development opportunities in terms of private development. So that work still has to be done. There has been a lot of improvement so far, more than $50 million of private investment in the West Side. And so it was important to make sure that the streetcar went over the Santa Cruz and into the West Side so that we could see much more private development happen.
And former Mayor Volge calling it a scam, allegedly.
I'm so sorry, but I don't believe former Mayor Volge has as much of the details and information as he would like to think he has. But I respect his service to the community when he did it. But other than that, I don't think he has all of the I don't know. Richard, you know, has given me this information, so I haven't talked to former Mayor Volge of what he thinks about this. But, you know, it's economic development. We passed $100 million road bond. The citizens of Tucson's voted on it in 2012. We've done more than 550 lane miles of road repair, and we have been on time, under budget, and more to come in terms of fixing our roads within the city of Tucson. So it has been a very successful road bond with a citizens committee to have oversight over it. And we have done a lot of road repair, and I think people see that happening.
What about Linus Kafka's letter of resignation? He is was the city of Tucson zoning enforcement officer, resigning a couple of weeks ago, citing political interference from you and your colleagues on the council, and he didn't articulate the specifics of that charge.
Well, it was a huge surprise for me to hear of his resignation, especially because I thought that, you know, he was doing a fine job, and because I didn't have any projects that were of any a scandal, you know, or any big differences. But the most unfortunate thing about it is that the zoning examiner brings recommendations to mayor and council, and that's what they are. Recommendations. Mayor and council are part of the process. Mayor and council usually hear from all stakeholders in especially a contentious issue. And mayor and council are given the opportunity by the charter to be the final voice of the decisions that are made in terms of zoning. And so it is most unfortunate that Mr. Kafka felt that way, but his recommendations are just that, recommendations. And mayor and council are elected by the people to represent them in these cases too. We are part of the process. And sometimes, you know, he makes recommendations. We say, let's work on it more, because we hear from this group, we hear from that group. And developers are stakeholders and part of the process too. And so we have to make sure that we reach consensus as much as we possibly can. And then, you know, and then take the recommendation by the zoning examiner and do as we think is necessary to reach some sort of consensus. Sometimes people walk, you know, a few people walk away from the process upset, but you know, if there's a little bit on both sides, if both sides are a little upset, then I think that consensus building has worked.
So there'll be a new zoning enforcement officer.
Yes, and actually we are in the process. Just last night at mayor and council meeting, I introduced the idea of creating a stakeholders group, an advisory committee, to reimagine a development services department. That's an area that we hear a lot of feedback from developers and the business community that needs work and
was
help.
That Mr. Duarte? Who,
yes, and when
he's
Mr.
gone on now.
Mr. Duarte
so he's,
retired.
Yeah, he's
and
retired.
Mr. Duarte.
So
actually,
you're saying kind of take a look at the whole thing.
Absolutely. Mr. Yeah. Duarte pushed a lot of really good things in the development services department. We did a lot of good things and a lot of improvement. But what I'm saying and I'm suggesting and my colleagues on the council unanimously supported me was let's reimagine a development services department. New technology, new processes, more customer service. And let's look at hiring a new director of development services that will take us to the next level of our department. And you know, it's really encouraging to see that you know that SABA and that MPA and neighborhood groups are coming together to make sure that we create a new department, a new vision for that department that will help our community. It's the door of construction and development in our city, so we need to make sure that we're providing good service.
All right, Regina Romero, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and congratulations, Bill, on being inducted to the Hall of Fame in this amazing recognition of a very talented person like you, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, is just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a great weekend getaway. The folks over there, so welcoming, and you know, they have so many great attractions. They've got the famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can hike in the Gila National Wilderness. Many nice places, great places to stay over there, like Bear Mountain Lodge. Check out their fine website, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and that is southwestnewmexico.org. Our thanks to Silver City for being one of the fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with Opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. Sun Corridor Inc., offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services, facilitating the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, Sun Corridor, Inc. has facilitated 110 relocations and major expansions in Southern Arizona, representing 27,500 direct and indirect jobs and an overall economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Greg Stanley. Mr. Stanley is the Pinal County Administrator. He joins us on the live line from the county seat, Florence. Mr. Stanley, how are you?
I'm great, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on today.
So what is the benefit to Pinal County to be a member of Sun Corridor, Inc.?
The Pinal County sees great benefits by being a member of Sun Corridor, Inc. We have, of course, a large area in our county that's ripe and ready to grow. You know, Sun Corridor, Inc. brings a lot of expertise to the table as far as helping with locates of new companies. And so we just see a great benefit in being able to share that information and, you know, the dialogue we have back and forth with them in what we have available, and hopefully we can help, bring projects to both Pima County and Pinal County and this whole region.
Greg, do you like the new branding, of Sun Corridor from its previous brand of Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities known as TRIO?
Yes, we see that as a much more descriptive of this region.
What are some of your top economic priorities going on right now with your activity in Pinal County? Give us kind of an overview for our listeners here in Pima County. Of course, this radio station's got a great signal, so we're very strong in your county. But for folks who aren't aware of what you've got going on there, Greg, give us kind of an overview.
We have had just incredible interest in Pinal County. I would say stemming back for about the last 2.5 years, as people are coming out of the recession, just looking for areas that they see possibilities for future growth. Of course, our county has a great history of mining, copper mining, a lot of agricultural interests, and we're starting to see now with the alignment of Interstate 10, Interstate 8, and its proximity around Casa Grande, just a whole lot of interest there. Of course, we have the Union Pacific Railroad that goes through the county, and an abundance of energy. We've got 500 kilovolt lines that have been located in the county, bringing in some new substations. Of course, we've got a natural gas that's readily available along that corridor as well. So it's really helped bring a whole lot of interest into the county that ties into those sorts of the people that need those kinds of things. So we've got one of the major projects is Resolution Copper, and of course that's one that the land exchange bill was passed by Congress and signed into bill last year, and you know that's going to be a multi-year project before they actually start to do anything because they have to go through the environmental process. But potentially, that's a $5 to $10 billion investment in Pinal County, and would be a mine project that we hear will operate for 50 to 60 years. And of course, copper goes up and down with the their level of activity goes up and down as the price of copper goes up and down. But they're going to build something that will be very efficient with new technology, and so it would be one as copper goes down, they would still continue to operate.
I was just going to say, I can't believe every time I drive up to Phoenix, the growth in Casa Grande is unbelievable there along the freeway, that development, Phoenix Mart, I believe it's called. The growth, and are these people, is Casa Grande becoming really a bedroom community with commuters into Phoenix?
Casa Grande actually has quite a bit of industry there, and they've always been very focused on getting industry in. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of the county is just a bedroom community that people are driving into Phoenix, and that's something we're certainly trying to work real hard to fix because we want to get those industrial and your quality jobs out in the county.
Let me ask you about.
Go ahead
about Casa Grande. Continue on that. Yeah.
You mentioned Phoenix Mart.
Yeah.
And yes, it is moving ahead. That's an area where they're taking advantage of a federal program that's called EB-5 to get EB-5 visas, where people from outside the country invest $500,000, and at the same time, for each investor and each $500,000, they have to employ 10 local people. And so this federal grant program, very specific on what they have to do and the timelines of doing it. And so Phoenix Mart has been working through that whole EB-5 visa process with the State Department. But in the meantime, they have begun some of the footing construction on site. If you were to drive by it, you'd see quite a bit of construction activity. They're moving ahead with a lot of their building permits and things like that.
Where is that exactly, Greg?
It's about, I would say, 4 miles. If you're going up the interstate, mm-hmm. and you were to get off on there where the new shopping center is, the Promenade Mall,
yeah.
and head east, it's about 4 miles off to the east and just off to the north side.
And so are some of these Chinese investors or what is that?
It's a lot of foreign investors, and a lot of them are Chinese, but also from other countries as well. And it's they basically, it's a way to bring foreign money back to the U.S.
We had a unsuccessful bond. We had seven bond questions, as you know, here in Pima County. Has Pinal County gone the bond route in the past as well, Greg Stanley?
We have not gone as drastic as what Chuck Huckleberry did. We have not done GO bonds. We've done bonds using our and pledging our existing revenues. So we've done those using, you know, using our sales tax revenue and things like that, but have done that to finance some of our infrastructure. In fact, a great example, the Santan Valley area, which is real close to Maricopa County, close to Queen Creek, very much about 100,000 people in that unincorporated area, and so some real big transportation needs. And about 10 months ago, our board went out and secured some debt financing, pledging other revenues, but we bonded to build and improve the road, the main road that goes through there. And as soon as the board, that approval was made public, hadn't even started construction, we had a lot of companies come in and say, okay, we're ready to, you know, we're ready to get started there. And so we've had things like some emergency rooms are looking to relocate and or build new standalone emergency rooms in that area, office complexes, as well as, of course, your typical commercial-type development.
So it's really a different approach than Pima County to bonding, isn't it?
Yes. The GO bonds would be, you know, and everybody's kind of averse to additional taxes, so we've always tried to stay away from those.
Okay, Greg Stanley, thank you very much. It sounds like you think this was a terrific move to get Pinal County involved here with Sun Corridor.
Oh, we do. And we enjoy the relationship, with Pima County and their staff as well.
Greg Stanley, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Greg Stanley is the administrator of Pinal County. He was speaking with us on the Buckmaster Show from the county seat, Florence, Arizona. The interview series, our CEO interview series, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. You can find out more by visiting suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back.
Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Bruce Beat.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Bynum.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sluts.
I thought I just saw you out.
Casey Palipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're
Bert Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
John Lewis.
Yeah, I know John. John Lewis, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. We are joined in studio by attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk & Associates. They have offices here in Tucson and up in the Phoenix area. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. Don appears on the first Thursday of each month, and he is the author of two very popular books about the law, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. That book is now in its second printing, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and I'd like to add another subtitle, Don Luce, What You Need to Start Talking About.
That's right, Bill. Thank you for having me back on.
Thank you so much. I want to talk a little bit about this vote that in Ohio. Ohio voters rejecting a ballot measure seeking to legalize recreational and medical marijuana use in the Buckeye State.
Yes. Ohio had on its ballot an initiative to legalize marijuana. The proponents of the initiative thought that they had a chance to get a victory, but they got crushed. Only 36% of the voters voted in favor of legalizing marijuana in Ohio, and as it stands now, there are still only four states nationally and the District of Columbia mm-hmm. where marijuana is legal. Now, what I find interesting, Bill, is that Arizona seems to be following Ohio's lead with respect to putting an initiative on the ballot to legalize marijuana. There is a group in Arizona called the Arizona Marijuana Legalization Initiative, and they are collecting signatures to get a legalization initiative on next November's ballot in Arizona. If their measure passes, in Arizona, it would become legal to possess and consume marijuana by persons who are 21 years of age or older, and people would be permitted to grow up to six plants in their homes. The initiative would also provide that the sale of marijuana would be subject to a 15% tax, which would be levied and then used by the state of Arizona for education and health care purposes. The initiative, which likely will be on next year's ballot, also would establish a new department. It would be called the Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, currently, Medical marijuana is regulated by the Department of Health Services.
Right.
And you'll recall that when the voters passed the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act in 2010, it literally took years for the Arizona Department of Health Services to essentially get the program up and running, in part because there was extensive litigation in Arizona about the enactment of that statute. But anyway, currently in Arizona, the use of medical marijuana is legal, as it is in dozens of other states nationally. The program is overseen by the Arizona Department of Health Services, but if this new initiative is passed next year, that would essentially change to the extent that recreational use would be governed by a new department called the Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control.
How would that work? You'd buy like a pack of marijuana cigarettes and then 15% of it would go to the state or whatever?
Yeah, essentially. Now, there are other states that are expected to have marijuana initiatives on their ballots next year as well. Nevada is one of them. And what I'm thinking is that we are seeing what looks to be a flood of ballot initiatives by states that currently have medical marijuana statutes in effect, but the voters are going to be asked in those states to expand marijuana usage for recreational purposes. We know that these initiatives have been on state ballots going back to 1972 in California,
mm-hmm.
Proposition 19. It did not pass, but California may have a recreational initiative on its ballot next year, along with Arizona and several other states. We know that Nevada had a proposition on its ballot in 2002, and it did not pass. And Nevada next year is going to be one of the states that has another proposal on its ballot for legalized marijuana. So the point is simply this. The states that have this initiative on their ballot next year, in some measure, are states that have already had it on their ballots, but the initiative didn't pass in prior years. I don't know if 2016 is going to be a good year for the proponents of legalized marijuana or not, but I do know that there are a handful of states next year where the legislative initiative is going to appear on the state's ballot.
Let's take a quick call. I believe we have Ingrid at 790-2040. Ingrid, you're with attorney Don Luce.
Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, Mr. Luce. Regarding marijuana and its being smoked, I would love to see an initiative proposed to have smokeless marijuana legalized. The kind that you smoke is a health hazard and a behavioral hazard to everybody surrounding the smoker.
Mm.
And you can say, well, I'll smoke it in my own home. Problem is, when you're in any kind of apartment-like dwelling that includes condominiums, you know when your neighbors are smoking. You know when they're out on their patios smoking because you inhale it. It affects you.
Okay.
And I've spoken to many people about that, and they absolutely are affected. That stuff shows up in your bloodstream even.
All right.
And I'd love to see these initiatives halted for smoked marijuana and be replaced with smokeless marijuana.
Okay.
That's a great point, Ingrid. And currently, under the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, both the smoked variety and the smokeless variety are offered for sale by the 100 or so medical marijuana dispensaries that are doing business throughout the state of Arizona. A great portion of their sales are actually in the smoke smokeless variety, primarily edibles. That activity, of course, is highly regulated, but there are medical marijuana users who prefer not to smoke the product and to buy edibles in lieu of the actual weed, which would then provide for a smokeless environment. Mm-hmm. This also brings to mind a legislative proposal to legalize marijuana. We have a proposal that has been introduced in the Arizona legislature that would essentially do what the ballot initiative is trying to do. It's in the introduction phase in the Arizona legislature, and the proponents of a legislative legalization act say that they are in a better position to address issues like you've just raised, Ingrid, where they could be ahead of the curve instead of being essentially following a voter initiative, which may or may not have provisions that are favorable for the citizens of Arizona. And once a voter initiative is passed, it requires 75% of the legislature to approve any changes to it. So the legislature at this point is in a position where they could actually legalize marijuana. And if they do, they could set the terms of their legislation as they deem best for the citizens, and they would only need a majority. However, if a initiative is passed on the ballot, any changes to it would require a 75% supermajority.
Don Luce, thank you very much. Don, the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. Don, thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 in the morning. The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone 8 to 9. Sean McCluskey, our newest talk show host, from 9 to 10. And then I'm back with you on Friday. Tom will be here too. Tom Fairbanks will have our Friday Focus interview tomorrow with Mike Varney of the Chamber. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.